Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love to help people with their yards, their landscaping, all their gardening issues, and even help the happy side of it that you love, you want to be creative, and do something spectacular in your garden. I would love to help. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. Good morning, Lizzie. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. And for my Valentine's Day, Teresa got me some little Chick-fil-A breakfast, so thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Nothing's too good for you.
I am so glad you're back. You sound like a totally different person than last week.
So. Yeah, well, I have to tell you, I went home, was there for about a half an hour, 45 minutes, and then had to go to the hospital.
Yes.
So I've been in the hospital this week with the flu A, and it's really bad, everyone, so you just got to make sure it's going around. Do what they tell you to do. I was able to get some Tamiflu right away, though, and kind of knocked it down, but I am much, much better. So thank you to everyone who asked and sent cards, and Tom, thank you so much, it's just wonderful. I want to send a shout-out to the Lake County Master Gardeners. I did a talk on Thursday for them on bromeliads, and they were very lovely, and it was great to see some of my dear friends from long ago, Master Gardeners, and that they're still there, they're still volunteering and making the program a success. So Jan and Marcia and Paula, thank you so much for coming. Kathy, great to see you. You and Jennifer, my traveling buddies. Susan and Ray, lots of great friends. So thank you so much for having me out. Lizzie, this last couple of weeks has been traumatizing. I don't want to focus on it too much because I'm going to let everybody know. Okay, go ahead and cut your plants back.
Oh, so Eileen told on me, right? Because she called me, I think it was Saturday, to check on you. But then she's like, so what are you doing, Lizzie? I said, shh. I said, Teresa's 100% right. We should not cut back. But I can't handle looking at this brown no more. So I went through and I mowed everything down. So
well, it's going to be okay. It's just going to take a little while to recover. But I was up further north and looking at landscapes. And our tropicals, the hibiscus, the Hawaiian ties, the cordylines, they, you know, they're the ones that got hit the most because they're tropical. And anything north of Orlando with tropicals, it's just going to die. It just is. And so the good news is that they're not that expensive, or you can just see if they come back from the root system. But your plumerias and different plants that got hit bad with the frost, and it kind of melted their insides. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But mainly today, I wanted to be happy and upbeat. You want to go to the today, Hearts in Bloom, the 29th annual Orchid Show. And it's today and tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then tomorrow it's 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at the Orlando Garden Club. And that's on 710 East Rollins Street. Free parking, only $3. It's a great date if you want to go and pick out some orchids with your loved one. And spoiler rotten, and even the guys can like orchids too as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yes,
and have different types of exotic plants. And so, like Dan McParland, who was on last week, he loves orchids and he loves growing roses and things like that. So we're going to be talking about that today. But go, head over there and be supportive. It's a great day to be outside. Lovely day. We are going to get some rain today and tomorrow, possibly later on tonight. It'll be this morning. But Florida is back to normal. I will tell you the 90-day forecast. The 90-day forecast is above average temperatures for the 90 days. No rain. We are in a severe drought. This drought is the longest we've had since 2012.
I went by a few of what I assume was probably a mini lake, but got kind of turned into, or was being used as a retention pond up in like Leesburg area, uh-huh. Which I understand, whatever. And I saw probably about a 3-foot drop. Like, I could see the roots of some of the oak trees and stuff sticking mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. from where, you know, the water level is usually 3 foot higher. And I'm not saying we're that deficient, but what I'm saying is
we are.
I've never seen it like that. I mean, right. I probably have, but I was really...
We are in a severe drought. But here's the point. And when we're talking about it and you're hearing it on the news, and yes, we're in a drought, that doesn't mean you need to water more. You only need to be watering one time a week.
Yes.
And so watering more now is just kind of wasting it. Go ahead, let's wean everything off of the high irrigation that we had over the summertime and just water once a week like we're supposed to. The temperatures for this month are going to be a little bit cooler. And when I say cooler, winter's over. Okay, winter is over. We're not going to have any more winter. But the temperatures are going to be cooler than normal. So 60s and low 70s and, you know, 50s and 40s at night. Now that's lovely weather.
It's cool. This is why people live in Florida.
Yes.
We get here and then we get it around October, November-ish. Mm-hmm. Now, what I did do this week is I did take your advice from many years of listening to you is with the watering is that some of my stuff looked a little sad, like some of my herbs.
Uh-huh.
So I went and I stuck my finger in the soil down to, you know, my first joint knuckle.
Right.
And it was still lightly moist wet, I guess you would say. It mm-hmm. wasn't soaking wet, but so I didn't water.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't need to. And it's probably a little bit more of the cold damage or because your patio is not heated, is it?
No. I lost all my tomatoes.
Okay.
I was so proud of.
Yeah, so a lot of it is frost damage. And we're seeing that still. Is that there's still a lot of frost damage. So North Florida, high in the 70s and sunny. Next chance of rain is going to be next weekend. Central Florida, sunnies and highs in the 70s. South Florida, beautiful weather all this week. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and let me know you're out there and that you're no longer traumatized. We have winter here in Florida. Yes, Virginia, Florida does have a winter, and we get a little peak of it every 10 to 15 years. So,
we had a listener call, and she is in Century, Florida.
Uh-huh.
Do you know where that is?
I do not know.
Okay, it looks like it's up around the panhandle, maybe.
Okay.
Florida, was that Alabama line?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. She said that this is the first, I mean, not the first time, but this is the first real time that she's seen the palm trees where not just the brown, but like the palm fronds, is that what you call it, the palm
yes.
fronds?
Mm-hmm.
As I'm making my arm like I'm a tea
yes.
kettle in
yes.
the studio, are totally brown, falling off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they all look bad, like that whole area.
They got wiped out.
Are they going to come back?
Possibly not. No. So how you need to check for that is you need to go to the top of the palm tree. So you might have to get on a ladder or get your landscaper to look at it. But that the apical tip right there where the spears, the fronds emerge, you want to just pull on that, see if it's still sturdy, still. You know, structurally okay. If you could pull that tip out, that spear out, that's not a good thing. And so that means the interior, it really got damaged and it's got a fungal issue. You do want to spray some liquid copper fungicide on it and hope for the best, but we're going to lose a lot of palm trees in this year. So you just want to check that out. But check your palm trees. We had a couple of weeks ago, if you want to check back on the podcast, on iHeart, you can see my palm trees that grow all the way up to South Carolina, North Carolina, and can handle snow. So we do have those kind of palm trees, but if you have a tropical one, like a pygmy date palm, Phoenix robellini, a queen palm, or a foxtail, they're goners. There you go. So let's go to Ken in Tallahassee. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine. Thank you.
How can I help you?
Well, I cut all my coondi palms back this year.
Okay.
And I'm wondering about this coming year. I've got lots of weeds and whatnot, and I'm trying to take care of them up front. And I'm gonna put out some pine straw, but I'm wondering if when I do that, do I need to keep a hole for the coondy palms, or will they poke themselves through the pine straw by themselves?
So let's just say you're just putting down the correct amount. So you want to have at least 3 to 4 inches when it finally compacts.
Right.
They should pop through very easily, not a problem. But if you're going to put like 8 to 10 inches down, I would make room for some so it can breathe a little bit and get some sunshine.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Well, that's what I needed to know.
Thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate it. Great question.
I love that he used okie dokie, because that's my thing is okie dokie.
I love okie dokie too. So I have to tell you, I used to work out at Mission Inn, which was is an elegant resort.
Mm-hmm.
And I was little. I was like 16, 17 years old. And I answered the phone for the dining room. And I took the reservation. And at the end, I said, okie dokie. And the maitre d' came over and goes, Teresa, okie dokie. I go, what was I supposed to say?
You're so professional here.
Exactly. So okie dokie is fine with me. I love okie dokie. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So Lizzie, there are 3 states in the United States that are named for Valentine. So what are those states?
Ooh, let's go with Arkansas.
Okay.
Washington State.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And South Carolina.
Right. Wrong. Oh. Okay. So Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia.
Oh, it's so close.
It's so close. So close. Do you know how many cocoa beans it takes to make a pound of chocolate?
Let's go with 5.
Okay. 400.
What?
400 cocoa beans for 5. That's according to the National Confectioners Association. So do you know who sold chocolate out of his print shop? Which one of the founding fathers sold chocolate out of his print shop?
Let's see. Benjamin Franklin was not one of the founding fathers, right?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Okay, I'm going to go
that's
Benjamin.
The answer. Yeah, Benjamin is right. Yes, Benjamin's right. And so we have St. Valentine's. Is the patron saint of Valentine's and for lovers. And he's also the patron saint of epilepsy, which he's supposed to have suffered with, the plague, greetings, and travelers, and young people, and beekeepers.
Oh.
He's a patron saint of beekeepers as a role of protection for the bees, both the health of the hives and the quality of the honey produced. And so this patronage comes with the broader symbolism of honey as a representation of love and sweetness, which complements his role as a saint of lovers. But he is not the one who started that the Valentine's Day was associated with love first. And so who first associated St. Valentine's Day with love and romance was Chaucer. And it was in the 1400s, the 14th century, Charles wrote a poem called The Parliament of Fowls, meaning birds, in which they gathered on St. Valentine's Day to select their mate. And so we get St. Valentine's and love associated from Chaucer, medieval history, not medieval literature, not the saints or the patronage there. So I thought that was interesting. How many roses are produced for Valentine's Day each day?
I'm sorry.
Each year. How many roses are produced for Valentine's Day each year?
Ooh, I would say probably over 1 million.
Yes, 250 million.
Ooh.
So for those of you who say that growing roses is hard, it can't be that hard. Okay, if they can grow 250 million, all right. And let's see, what holiday produces more floral purchases, Valentine's Day or Mother's Day?
Mother's Day.
Valentine's Day.
What?
Yes. Yes. People don't like
their moms as much as they do their girlfriends.
Exactly. Exactly. German girls used to plant onions to predict their Valentine. So in Germany, girls would plant onions in a pot on Valentine's Day and place a boy's name next to each onion bulb. And the first onion to grow was supposed to reveal the boy they would marry.
Oh.
See, that's interesting.
But you know what?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I'll have to have Brooke go out and just pull random names out and plant her onion and see which one goes first. And see.
So the top three colors of roses are?
Purple.
You think so?
I love purple.
Yeah. So I'm going to say this again, Lizzie. So the top three colors of roses are what on Valentine's Day?
Probably red.
Yes. Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Yellow.
No.
White.
White.
Yes. Ooh, I love white. And blue.
And pink. Where do you see a blue rose? Oh, my goodness gracious. You're perpetuating that myth of blue roses.
Yes.
Okay. So anthophobia is the fear of flowers. Which is really unfortunate if you have that and Valentine's Day comes around. It must be really stressful. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
You will be so proud of me. Okay.
Yes.
So we had one of the grand brats, and his nickname is 715. Yes, that's how much he weighed when he was born. So aww, that's the nickname I gave him. He looked at me and he was like, yeah, yeah. He was like, does Ani B, which is Brooke,
yes,
who works here and fills in Desert Media, does she have a Valentine? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. He goes, well, I want her to be my Valentine. And I go, well, you know, do you want to? He says, can we get her something? And I said, yeah, you've done some work out and, you know, helped me with the turkeys. I got some money put aside for you. And he goes, well, let's get her some flowers. And I just said, well, I said, you know what Mr. Teresa says? And he says, what? I said, look, there's a beautiful, like, splatter paint looking small, like mini teeny rose bush that was for sale next to the cut flowers. I said, those flowers are dead. And then he goes, well, what about, I think they were the Easter lilies. I said, that those are dead too. And he goes, wait, what? I go, I don't think that those grow after they do that one thing. So I said, let's go with this rose. He's like, yeah, that's so pretty. Yeah, yeah. So I did what you said. Don't give dead flowers. I mean,
well,
go ahead and get flowers.
Please, but we're not disparaging the floral
industry.
No.
Please still, you know, keep
buy, them buy flowers. Yes. But yes. I prefer as a gardener to get live flowers. Tony's only allowed to buy live flowers.
Yes.
So that's good. And roses are one of the plants he's allowed to buy because I love them. So let's real quick go back over real quick what you need to be doing in your landscape. Go and walk each yard area. Look to see if you see any new growth coming from your plants. There should be some by now. So mostly the ornamental tropical plants can be thrown away. They're rotted. They're not going to come back. Or they're just going to look so bad for the next year and a half, then it's kind of a little bit more less expensive to get new ones and start over again. So hibiscus, cordyline, Hawaiian ties, crotons did not fare well. Plants that spread by rhizomes could recover. So your gingers, your heliconias, all your different ones that spread by rhizomes. I'm trying to think of that. I had someone ask me about their big birds of paradises, their giant white bird of paradises, that they say the tips are all burned and they're looking bad, and what should they do? Well, here's the hard part. Your bird of paradises, your traveler's palms, large heliconias, you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to cut them down to the ground or just tip them off. But they're never really going to fully recover those ones. They're only going to start to grow new ones from the bottom. So you can wait till the new ones have kind of come halfway up in between and cut the damaged ones down, or you can cut them all down to the ground. It's your choice, but the ones that are damaged are not really ever going to look good again. But if you cut them down to the ground, I promise you that within a year, with fertilizing, with proper watering, they will look much better than they do now. So you can go ahead and do that. Agaves and succulents, your desert roses, your plumeria, anything that has soft tissue ornamentals, so that you can take and cut off, and they transplant real easy. Cut off the burned portions, okay? Spray them with a fungicide so that they stop that fungus, and just cut off what's damaged, what's wilted, what's melted inside. So you want to do that. If you have a specific plant in your yard that you're worried about, you want to give me a call, you can give us 1-888-455-2967 or text 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Better Lawns and Gardens on Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Do you know someone who has been traumatized by the winter?
Doesn't
know
what
to do. All our listeners. It's been terrible. and doesn't know what to do in their yard. Let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens, and they can call in with their gardening questions. They can listen on a weekly basis or listen to the podcast as they're working in their garden. We would appreciate that. And if you go to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and like it, that would be amazing. We would love that. Start your new year off right.
Yes.
Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning.
How are you? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you also.
Thank you.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
We are actually going to go to the orchid show. So Tony and I, we're going to take our granddaughter to the orchid show, and we're going to let her select her very first orchid.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Now, do you grow orchids?
I do. I have lovely ones.
Well, kudos to you.
They're very easy to grow, Eileen.
No, I would kill them. I would. And I'm going to kill somebody else.
Uh-oh. And not on Valentine's Day. Wait till tomorrow. Then you can do without any kind of remorse.
No, it's going to happen today.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I noticed, and why I didn't notice this before, but there's plastic on my... Lizzie.
Staghorn.
Yes, staghorn.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I only see a little bit of green on the side.
Okay.
So what do I do on the brown?
Okay, so is the plastic covering it, or is it in plastic, in the basket?
Well, it's so big that on the ground.
Oh, okay. I would not worry about it. I'd remove as much of the plastic as you can. Plastic's not good for plants. So I would remove it. It is going to recover, and so it'll recover from the interior. So as it starts to get bigger, you'll see some of it may fall off. It just may become like an overlapping bract on it. And
it's huge.
Yeah.
It's about 500 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. It will recover, yes. It's just going to go through a little stress.
Okay.
Okay.
So I can put him under a little bit of stress.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay.
Just a little bit, yes.
It's Valentine's Day. Come on.
There you go. Thank you, hon.
Awesome.
Take care. Let's go to Jerry in Davenport. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning there. Quick question.
Sure.
Two items. First off, I have about a 15-foot fig tree. Mm-hmm. I saw the leaves are dead on it. Can it come back, or is it done?
No, it will definitely come back. They go dormant up north. So they grow all the way up to zone 5, which is Pennsylvania, New York. So figs are very reliable. So, they'll be just fine.
Okay, good. And the other thing is plumbago. Is that pretty much done?
Plumbago. How big is it? Where was it?
It's out in the front yard. It gets all afternoon. Actually, probably gets 8 to 10 hours of sun a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably about 3.5-4 foot tall and kind of oval. So it's probably about a 8-foot oval around a magnolia tree.
It's going to be fine. I would just wait like another week. Go over it this weekend. It's going to be lovely weather to be outside in the garden. And see if you see any new growth anywhere. If you see new growth, then you can go ahead and I would cut it back probably by 6 to 8 inches and let it flush out again. And then probably, so some of that dead portion won't come off, but then I would wait until midsummer, maybe even August, and then cut it back again, and then you'll be all flush with new leaves for the fall.
Good.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Great questions. Figs are really, really reliable.
Yes.
So that is good. And so roses. Okay, so I have to say that one of my favorite roses is the Peggy Martin rose, which Gary Bachman, our friend, dear friend, Dr. Gary Bachman, brought us from Mississippi.
Yes.
And it is the rose that survived the catastrophic impact of Hurricane Katrina. It was discovered by Peggy Martin in her garden in Louisiana, and it has since become a symbol of hope and resilience. The rose survived being inundated with water for several weeks after the hurricane, outlasting 450 other roses in the garden. And that was salt water that it was down below. It's now a staple in southern gardens and beyond, and its popularity continues to grow each year. It's Peggy Martin. It is just a beautiful rose. It withstands harsh conditions, including saltwater flooding, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful rose. And so Peggy Martin is just a nice one. I have my favorite roses. If today you would like to know my list of favorite roses, my list of fragrant roses, and more rose care information, then go ahead and go to betterlawns.com and send me an email, and I will send you my list of great roses. I think they're very underutilized in Florida, roses, and they should be used more, but not every person likes roses, and they're not high maintenance. I'm talking about low maintenance roses. Yes. That you don't have to cut to deadhead, that don't get disease and insect issues, and they flower year-round. So we have, there's a lot of great choices out there. So Janice from Central Florida, she says, I haven't written in a while, but I do listen to you every Saturday. And could you, and could sorely use some of your sage advice with this palm. When I moved into the house in 2011, this tree was a stump, maybe 3 to 4 feet tall, and has obviously grown over the years and has looked healthy. But a few months ago, I realized the fronds were browning more frequently than in the past. And this is what it looks like after the freeze. I'm going to have the fronds removed, but wondered if anything, what else I need to do to help it return to a healing tree. She said, appreciate your help. And she sent me three great pictures. Janice did a great job, but the photos are sad. The palm tree is sad. And it does have a disease. It's got a rot, a trunk rot called Theileviopsis, trunk rot, and it's caused by the fungus Theileviopsis. And due to this disease, the palm trunk often collapses on itself. So if you go ever driving by down the road and you see a palm that's completely bent over,
yeah,
that's the trunk rot. So that's happening all over the state of Florida. There's really nothing you can do for it except to try and keep your palms healthy. So how do you try and keep your palms healthy is, well, we're going to come back and we're going to tell you how to keep your palms healthy. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you'd like the newsletter, you can go to my website, she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and sign up for the newsletter. It should be going out this weekend, I promise. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is my top five rose myths. Things that are not true about roses. Myth number one, roses need to be cut at a 45 degree angle away from the bud eye. This is thought to be because sap is going to drip over the cut and stop it from growing. This is false. Roses do not have sap. You can cut above a bud eye, and it doesn't matter if it's flushed or at an angle. Just cut the roses. The more roses are cut, the more they will bloom. Myth number two, roses should be cut above the first five leaflet leaf. False. This is not true. Just remove the bloom at the base of the bud. Myth number three, roses should be pruned in wintertime. False. Not here in Florida or in the South. Just clean it up and get rid of diseased and dead wood. Number four, roses have thorns. This is false. Roses have prickles. They don't have thorns. Prickles sit on the top of a stem and snap off easily. Thorns come from underneath the outer cane layer, and they may break or don't come off at all. And number five, Epsom salts should be used on roses. Epsom salts are magnesium sulfate. This is not necessarily false, but it's not necessarily true. Not Epsom salts is not everything the plant needs. Fertilizing varies depending on the season, location, and the size of the plants. You want to use a product that provides a complete micronutrients and slow-release nitrogen, something like bio-advanced all-in-one rose and flower care granules, or Espoma Rose Tone, organic granules and plant food. Those are my top five rose myths. There you go. Let's go to Craig in Belle Isle. Good morning, Craig. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. First time calling. I enjoy your show.
Thank you so much.
I haven't listened all this morning, so maybe people have already asked these questions, but I have two large mango trees, two pretty large avocado trees. Mm-hmm. A lot of brown leaves on them, but I think they're going to be okay. The Brogdon avocado has lots of flowers on it, and I was pleasantly surprised to see those didn't look too damaged. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping.
Okay, I think they're going to be fine. Brogdon is really a very cold hardy avocado. You may drop some leaves, some flowers, but you should get some avocados from it. So the mango and the avocado will recover. How tall are they?
They're about 18 feet.
Yeah, good size. There's one on my street that's about 20 feet tall, and it was beautiful before the freeze, and it had literally thousands of blossoms on it. And this week it looks brown, and all the blossoms, they're going to drop, but you should get some, so at least they're not going to get damaged. So that'll be good. You have another question?
On the mangoes, the Glen mango usually starts showing panicles now, signs mm-hmm. of flowering coming on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not seeing any of that with all the brown leaves. There's really no new growth or anything.
Right. I would go ahead and fertilize it and see. We still have plenty of time to grow some mangoes. So I would go ahead and see if you get some new growth here in the next month or so.
Okay. I might have misunderstood, but I think last week you mentioned right before the freeze that the crotons would be okay.
No, I never said the crotons.
I misunderstood.
No,
I was
crotons.
Cooking breakfast.
Well, what I was saying, they really got damaged. Crotons are very tropical, so they really should not be grown anywhere north of Tampa, Lake Okeechobee. They're always going to get hit by freezes. Okay, so those are very, very tropical zoned. I would even say zone 11 and 12 now, because they are going to get hit. Depending on how hard they get hit, though, they could recover. So you got to look at your plant, look at it, see if you see any new buds coming off in between the leaves that are kind of droopy. And mm-hmm. you could pull the dead leaves off and see if it comes back. It might, depending on where you are in Belle Isle, and if you've got a little microclimate there. You should start seeing new growth sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, because I've got about 20 of them, and they're just... They're beautiful.
They were beautiful.
My ponytail palm, the top leaves or fronds are all whitish yellow.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, it looks pretty good. I'm wondering how hardy if that thing's going to
That's going to be just
die.
Fine. You can go ahead and cut those off if you want. But I would make sure you don't cut off the trunk or the stem. I would just cut the fronds off, and it'll produce more.
Oh, good. And the hibiscus, I got a big hibiscus bush out front.
Mm-hmm.
Totally looks dead, but I just wonder.
Well, just go ahead and scrape the cambium. So start about, eye height, five feet tall. Start scraping that cambium, and wherever it is brown, that's dead. And you can go ahead and cut that back. Stop it till you find the green. And if you find some green, then just cut it from there, and it'll flush back out.
Beautiful. And lastly, I'm going to ask about my ficus. I guess it's a banyan or a ficus tree. It's, 15 feet tall, and all the leaves are brown.
Yeah, all the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. But the ficus should be just fine. Not a problem. The banyan tree will recover.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You're doing a great job. I love your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Happy Valentine's Day, Craig. That's wonderful. And so if you have gardening questions, excuse me, I do have a little cough still, then you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go through these text messages real quick. Let's see. Okay, they're just piling in here.
That's good.
Yeah,
we
that's wonderful.
Them. Yes.
So Mike and Lori, have a great time. The Edison Festival is going on in Fort Myers. The flower plant sale is going on down in Fort Myers today, the Edison Estate. Have a great time. Take some wonderful photographs like you do and send. I would love to see it. So if you're down there in Fort Myers, make sure you check that out. Let's go to the Earth Box Lady. Okay, I can cut my hibiscus. That's all twigs. Yes. Fertilize. Yes. Go ahead. Linden, Zone 8B. Can wisteria be grown successfully in a container? And if so, what size? Linda, anything can be grown successfully in a container if you know how to bonsai and what you need to do to keep those roots nice and healthy. What I would suggest, though, is that you go for Queen's Wreath. It's not as big as Wisteria. Looks just like it. Very fragrant. Getting towards that hour into the show. And it will be, that'll be a much better plant for you. Okay? Will lilacs grow outdoors in Florida? No. They won't grow indoors either, Brad. I'm sorry to say. We just do not have the ability to grow lilacs. And it's not the heat. It's actually more the humidity. Okay, the humidity just whacks them out. They just don't do well here at all. Don't even try it. Teresa, we have a lengthy hedge of dwarf Ixoras at our home. Excuse me.
Also, if you're looking for a way to find us, I know that one of our texters asked about Alexa.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How do they find it on Alexa?
Search WFLF. That's the easiest way to find us on most, because there's so many WFLAs out there.
Right, so ask Alexa for WLFF.
WFLF, yeah.
There you go. All right, super duper. And then so we have a lengthy hedge of miniature Ixoras at our home in Winter Park. How do I determine if they've survived or succumbed to the freeze? They should survive. They may not look good right now. So what I would suggest is don't cut anything back yet. Look to see if you see any new growth. And they should have leaves coming out already. It's been about 10 days now. We should have some new growth. And if you do, then go ahead and let it flush out a little bit more. And give it some fertilizer to encourage it, and give it some nutrition to get it boosted. And then you can cut it back after it first flowers, and then, you know, rinse and repeat. Okay? So that would be great. I should have said dwarf Ixoras. That's fine, hon. I knew what you meant. Our 5-year-old Tibuchina looks awful, but scraping some bark, there appears to be green beneath the surface. Yes, that's what you're looking for. Will it come back? And if so, what care should we give it? Just give it some nice water. You can trim it back. I would clip it diagonally. I'll talk a little bit more about pruning in the next hour. And it's going to recover. That's good news. Let's see. I got a couple more here. Let's see. I planted a 5-foot winged elm tree around September here in Orlando. I planted it too high. Is it too late to dig it up and plant it lower? I don't know what you mean by too high. Is it like 5 to 6 inches too high, or is it 1 to 2 inches too high? We always want to plant higher here in Florida. We want to plant 1 to 2 inches above the level of the root system, and plant that, I mean, above the ground. And in that way, it's going to be a little mound, because with our sandy soils, over the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to settle down. And it's going to, if you plant it level with the ground, it's going to be too deep. So we always plant a little bit above ground. So, you know, you can send a picture to me, betterlawns.com, or email me, teresa.watkins@live.com. And I can look at it, and I'll let you know if you need to dig it up and plant it. But if it does need to be replanted, it's a good time to do it right now. We're going to get to more of your text messages. I'm going to talk about roses and pruning. In the next hour, it is Valentine's Day. We're also celebrating President's Day on Monday, so I'll give you some facts about that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You can go back and recap any segment of any show that you may have missed at betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.